Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Okay, you're getting better. You're a lot better than they are in Rio Rancho. Last year at Easter, they struggled with that. They struggled with that so much. Because that is the word that makes us who we are. That is who we are. Remember Pope John Paul II, the great saint. He said many, many times that we are an Easter people, and what is our song? Alleluia. Alleluia is our song. Jesus is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
This alleluia, brothers and sisters, this word, this is the proclamation of the church has made to say that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That God so much loved our world that when he came into a lost, when we were lost and forgotten, he said he was going to come and find us. He came and he healed us where we are and took us upon himself all that hatred, all that anger, all that sin. And what he did for us was he nailed it to a tree. And he nailed it in such a way that it stuck and it died with his death. But it did not rise with his life. Because of this, Jesus entered in the very depth of our misery, of our suffering. He entered into the depths of all that we are. And it is there that Jesus Christ transformed death, even death itself, and gave it new meaning. A new meaning in a newness of life. And this he did at the very moment when his apostles found that empty tomb. That's something for which we should say, alleluia, alleluia. You were a lot better when we started out. Let's keep this up. It's going to be a lot of times we're going to say that. You're going to be sick of it. Probably not, though. It's such a great word. But that proclamation, that alleluia that we share, one thing that it is, it's either the celebration of the most amazing, most transformative thing that has ever happened on the face of the earth, that has radically transformed history and all the cosmos, the very focal point of all history, or it is the greatest hoax that has ever been pulled off. A hoax that makes something like the fraud and the Ponzi scheme of Ernie Madoff look like he was just a little flea. And if it's a hoax, we have to ask ourselves, why are we here? But if it's not a hoax, we have to ask ourselves another question. Why am I not here every single Sunday? Or if I am here every single Sunday, I have to ask myself another question. I have to ask myself, why haven't I brought a whole bunch of people here to Mass each and every Sunday? That is the challenge that we have. Either this alleluia that we proclaim tonight is a great Ponzi scheme, a great hoax, a great lie, or it is truth and reality itself. Those are the only two possibilities. If we gather here this Saturday night for the vigil, late at night, we have to ask ourselves that question. Am I somebody who is so beloved by God that he planned from the very beginning of human time that I would come into existence? Just like those first readings said. Am I so precious to him that he has intended for me to be a part of his plan of transforming this world? Or am I just some sort of random accident that happened to come about? If I am intended by God, and if human life is truly precious, if I have been designed and called forth by God from my own mother's womb, even before she knew that I was there, if when I'm lost and encircled by darkness, he seeks me and he finds me, if he is one who suffers and dies for me in the most brutal way possible and restores me, and calls me to an even greater destiny than this life, eternal life. If all these things are true, if God calls me his beloved son, or if he calls me his beloved daughter, the one upon whom his favor rests, not because of anything I've done, but because I'm his. And if he's made that promise to take care of me no matter what, you know, those promises that he whispered in our ear on the very day of our baptism. If this is true, then we can cry out, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
getting better, getting better. I like this. If this is all true, brothers and sisters, then just merely going along with the way that we've been living our lives, the way that things we've been doing, isn't enough. I need to challenge myself to seek a better way of life, a better way of living, a better way of existence, to realize at a deeper sense in my own heart and in my own life this truth of that hallelujah. Not just as something that I do on one day a week or one day a year, but something that I live out at every moment of my life that energizes everything that I do. You know, one of the things for me is when I first start out Lent, I don't know if it's the same for you, but when I do really well for those first 2 weeks on those observances that I make. And then everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. And then when it comes up to Holy Week, I realize that I've not been doing so well, and so I rev it up real quick to try to see if I can catch up for that lost time that I've had in doing things so poorly. And that's the challenge, though. That's the challenge of everything, because it's really difficult to keep it day in and day out, day by day by day by day, to just try to love God in a deeper way, to realize how He's loved me each and every day. It becomes very difficult. But here's the point. Here's the point, and the truth is that when I'm most focused in my spiritual life, when I'm most paying attention to what's going on, when I break that habit and miss Mass just one Sunday, then my week is radically different. It's radically different than any other time. It's sadder. It's not complete. It's something which isn't happy. And today we experience this powerful liturgy. And what it does is it makes us different. Not just because we have some beautiful attempts at chanting that are going on, some beautiful music that is here. Not just because we are surrounded by all these great people, people who we love, people who we care about. But really, why it makes us different is because I'm touched by a God who loves me. I'm touched by Him who spoke forth that alleluia into me, that touched me as God has destined me for love. A love which finds itself in expression in the people who He's put right here before you. A people who He's put you to love and to love you. A love which celebrates itself in the very glory of creation itself. A love which only finds its fulfillment in God, which is our dignity and our destiny. That thing which can only be realized within Him. So when we celebrate Easter, this Paschal mystery, when we celebrate this, we come to celebrate a very powerful reality. A reality about who we are as a people, planned and called, a people who are destined and a people who are loved. But just like all love, what it does is it gives us a choice. We have a choice because we can either enter into that relationship or we cannot enter into it. We can either communicate that love or we can cease to communicate that love and cut it off. And all of that is totally up to us. So it is with God. So it is with God. He's not just going to force us to love Him. Because He knows what that is. That isn't real love. He wants to give us that opportunity to choose love. And so He puts forth that invitation to us, to each of us in every one of our hearts. And He says, today let Easter be a beginning of something new. Today, take that next step and be a little bit closer to me. Come here. Lent is a come to Jesus moment, and Easter is when we arrive at His very feet, risen indeed. So our Lord invites us to take that step today, tonight. If you've not been going to Mass, what He says to you is come. Come to me. I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. If you've been going to Mass all the time, then He says, bring somebody else along. Why share this joy just with yourself, but include those who you love in something that you know shows you how deeply you're loved. Bring them with you. This is an invitation which God gives to each and every one of us. But one of the things I hear often when I go out into the streets and talk with even some of my friends and family members, unfortunately, what they do is they say to me, hey, Father, I'm really spiritual. I'm just not religious. I'm just not into that whole organized stuff. I encounter God in my own way. I go up to the mountains. I do these things. But you see, that's missing the point. Because that is not what religion is all about. This is based on a fundamental misunderstanding of what religion is. When you look up what religion is, you'll find out that it's religion is not something which is just associated with a spiritual, a visible structure of a church. It's true, a religion is that. I mean, that's our Catholic religion. But religion, what it's really about, it's about justice. Religion is about justice. Justice in the very realm of my soul. In fact, religion is about giving God his due. Giving God what's due to him. So in simple words, religion is just loving God in the way that he wants to be loved. In the way that he wants us to encounter him and to love him. Now every love, every relationship, there's this sort of love language which we have, and each of us has one of them. That's how I like to hear people say that I love you, when they communicate that to me. That's what really gets me going. I'm sure you've all read the book, or your wives probably have. Maybe your husbands haven't. The wives usually get into it more. But what it says, there's something really true about it. What it says is, so if a husband really likes getting gifts, that's how he understands love, then what happens if his wife gives him a new set of power tools or something like that, he says, that woman loves me. She really understands who I am. I love her. And then if a wife is somebody who really just gets into all these thoughtful actions of helping and things like this, and if the husband says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you these beautiful flowers here. What she says is, what a waste of money. What a waste of money. That's not what love is. Love isn't a bunch of flowers. Empty the dishwasher. That's what love is. That's how I want to be loved. Take care of these things. Why not change the baby's diaper for once? That's what love is. Serve me. That's how I understand love. And so if somebody we want to, somebody, if we fall in love with somebody, what we want to do is find out how to love them best. We want to love them in a way that they're able to receive it. Because otherwise, I'm speaking a language that they don't understand. They don't get it. They aren't hearing. And it's a basic foundation of every successful relationship. Those of you who have been married for a long time can speak about this intimately. Well, the basic relationship rule is, say I love you, not in the way you like to hear it yourself, but in the way that you know that that other person whom you love really likes to hear it. If we know this in reality, in our own personal lives, well, is it not true the same with God? It's the same with God because God asks us to say, I love you to him in very, very simple ways. He doesn't ask a whole lot. He asks us what? Keep the Sabbath day holy. That's what he says, right? He asks us to give out of the 168 hours that are pure gift that he gives us of our lives each and every week, to give him just one of those. Give him one of those to tell him at that moment on a special day, Sunday, that I love you. That's it. One out of 168 of them. All the rest are yours. Imagine if that's all Uncle Sam asked for us in our taxes. Tax season is coming up. If he only asked for us $1 out of every $168 that you earn. You know, that's like less than 0.5% of taxes. I think that would be something that we should say hallelujah about, right?
Hallelujah.
Okay, we can do it there too. That wasn't a cue, but that's cute and good. You're ready though. I like it. Imagine that. Imagine that. And God also asks us to love him, not just by visiting him ourselves, but he also wants us to share that love. He also wants us not to keep it to ourselves, but to be able to communicate that to others, to show forth them, to bring them into his love. That's why he says at the very end, when he's ascending into heaven, in Matthew chapter 28, at the very end, he says, go and baptize all the nations. Teach them all the things which I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, the very last verses. He didn't say, you know what you guys should do? You should go out and try to tell other people about my love, because I think that would be really good when you get around to it. He didn't say that. He said, go. He said, do it. He said, communicate my love to others. Because brothers and sisters, that's what we are called to do. In order to do that, what we have to do first, though, is what? We got to know him. We can't communicate his love to anybody else if we don't actually know who he is. So if we don't know who he is, we got to discover that. And you know what the best place to discover that is? To remain here within his holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, where he communicates his love to us each and every day through the sacraments, pouring himself up for us substantially so that we can gnaw on his very flesh, drink his very blood. That's the intimacy our God, our risen Lord, wants to have with us. Beautiful. One of the most beautiful things ever in existence. And so this Easter season, what we tend to think is that Lent is our opportunity to turn over a new leaf, right? That's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. In fact, Lent isn't an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. It's just a season of getting ready to be able to turn over a new leaf, which is the rest of our lives living out that Alleluia in Easter. It's letting go, letting the power of the resurrection, the power of God's plan for us, the power of God's love personally for me, penetrate everything and transform everything that I do, because it's my destiny, because it's my birthright as a baptized, beloved son or daughter of God the Father. It's the power of being born again, the power of doing what God himself has called me to do, and to know that love, not just personally, not just on my own in a spiritual way, but he wants us to do it as a community built up within the church that he has built up for us. And then once I'm there, to share that with others, to invite other people into that same family so they can be built up just as you and I are being built up. This is what God has called us to. In reality, Easter is not about the fact that God died, but rather that the God-man, that Jesus Christ, rose from the dead so that we can know his eternal love. And to that, my brothers and sisters, that's something that we can all respond, Alleluia, Alleluia. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.